people around. Let's sing it real pretty. 5-7.
Honor to Almighty God,
all right.
The Creator, the Father,
yes.
Father of all things. Amen. Giving honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for me and for you. Precious Holy Spirit, who is here among us right now. Not just among us, but in us.
Yes, thank you.
Amen. Honor to pastor of this house.
All right.
Reverend Dwayne Davis.
Yes, sir, God.
I want to recognize my family.
Thank you, Lord. That's
here.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
I got my father and my mother in the same house.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Jesus. Cousin Corey.
Thank you.
And you guys met from Baltimore.
All right.
One of my good friends, Brandon. So glad you're here. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Good to have good friends keep it straight,
right?
Yeah. So I'm not going to be able to front this morning because you might call me out. Amen. Amen. Because he know. Amen. He know if I'm not.
He know money, Jesus.
That's right.
He know money, Jesus.
He know some secrets. So, yeah. That's my boy, Adam. One of them.
Nobody's skeletons are.
We gotta be friends forever because we know too many things.
Yeah, nobody's skeletons are.
He gotta be my friend. Amen. So,
thank you, Lord.
Amen. Giving honor to my wife.
Amen.
Put up with me on a day-to-day basis. Hey, Lord, give her strength. Amen. My daddy, shaking his head. Yeah. I guess I can be hard to handle. Amen. But this morning, the word, God has a word for us. Amen. And I feel privileged to be able to preach this word this morning. It's a tough one. Amen. It's easy to tell people stuff you're doing. Sometimes God will have you preach a word that we all need.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We all need help in. And this is one of those messages.
Thank you.
So if you would grab your Bibles, prepare to go into the Word of God. If you would turn with me to Galatians, over in the 5th chapter. Amen. While you're finding your way there, you go down to the 16th verse. Galatians 5, verse 16. Listen to the words. This I say then, and I'm reading out of the King James Version. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Sound familiar, don't you? Heard this already this morning. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. I'm going to jump down to verse 25. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And this morning, I'm going to give you a simple title. Keep it simple. Walking in the Spirit.
All right.
I try my best to come up with something fancy, but the Holy Spirit said, walking in the Spirit. We're going to leave it just like that. Walking in the Spirit. Now, have you ever watched a child trying to learn to walk for the first time? In the beginning, they need someone's assistance to help them stand up. Their hands are tightly gripping the hands of their helper as they take those small, shaky steps. Mm-hmm. Soon the child will be able to pull themselves up using maybe a couch, a coffee table, maybe a chair. Yeah. And then they use these objects to balance themselves in order to try to walk.
That's right.
Next thing you know, they're walking on their own without any assistance. Mm-hmm. And then the worst thing are they off and running. Amen. Amen. They're into everything, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Christian life is a little like a child learning to walk.
Yeah.
When people first get saved, they begin to walk in their faith, and sometimes their struggles cause them to stumble and fall until they're able to walk with confidence. Mm-hmm. The difference between a child and a Christian is eventually a child will learn to walk without any assistance. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Christian will always have to walk with the assistance of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
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 Walking in the Spirit. Now, walking in the Spirit is a commandment. It's not a suggestion.
Right.
Amen. Amen. This is something God commands his children to do.
Yes.
And it's a command that he's given us concerning the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send you a comforter. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now God is commanding us to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's one of three commands he's given us concerning the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the other two. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. Mm-hmm. So the first one is 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says, do not quench or subdue or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Do not quench the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Been in church for a while, you've heard that one.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is Ephesians 4:30. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but seek to please him, by whom you were sealed and marked, branded as God's own for the day of redemption, the final deliverance from the consequences of sin. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And then Paul is introducing another command, which is to walk in the Spirit. Now, to obey these commands, the believer must have a passionate desire to do the will of God. Do you really want to do the will of God? And that same believer has to confess all of their sins in their life. Amen? The Bible says if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just enough to forgive you of all your sins.
Well,
and not only forgive you, he'll clean you up. Now the believer is ready to do the third command, which is to walk in the Spirit. If you have a passionate desire and you're ready to go before God and say, this is me. Mm-hmm. This is who I am, Lord. Fix me, clean me up. Mm-hmm. Then you're ready to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Galatians 5:16, and I read this already, but I'm going to read it again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a constant, continual, habitual, unbroken walk by means of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's a command. Walking in the Spirit is moment by moment. Mm-hmm. There can not be a second where the child of God is not walking in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
Now let me read this same verse out of the Amplified. It reads this, but I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek him and be responsive to his guidance. Mm-hmm. And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. So Paul is saying, if you walk in the spirit, you can't walk in the flesh at the same time.
That's
right. Amen.
Amen.
Can't do both.
All right.
Although both options are available to the believer.
All right.
That's why so many believers mess up. Amen. You don't get saved and then you perfect. Amen. When you're not saved, you only have one option. Before I got saved, that's all I was going to do was what was wrong. That's it. It's the only option I have. Now that I'm saved, God has given me a new option, a new nature. But I can still choose. I'm not a robot. There's people in this room that tell you I made the wrong choice already as a Christian. Amen. You don't exactly have it together right away.
Right.
But the option is there. And God is calling us to do something that seems virtually impossible. So here we have Paul presenting a new way of living. So look at what Paul is saying. Paul said, Galatians 5 and 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. He's presenting us a new way of living. Now before man lived by a standard called law by works. Amen. Law by works. We're raised to go do something to get a result. Amen.
Amen.
You don't work hard, you don't get paid.
That's right.
You don't do your work in school, you don't get good grades.
Right.
Amen. These are viable principles while we're still here in the world. If you obey the law, you won't go to jail. Amen.
Just playing.
Now, the believer is called to a new standard. It's called faith by love. We are to walk in faith. Walk in faith. I know what my eyes see, but what did God say? I know what my eyes see, but what did God say? Now, I've given this example before, and I'm going to give it again, especially since Gerald Senior's here. Big part of this, and he didn't even know. When I first got saved, and I was going to purchase my first house, right? First person I went to was my daddy. Right? I needed his advice.
That's right.
I needed, you know, this is my dad. I need sign off.
That's right.
Right? But I'm saved. And I showed him the house. We talked about the numbers because he's a number man. Right? He no money. And according to Gerald Sr., the money didn't add up. So you can't afford that house. You don't make enough.
Wow.
It was great advice.
Amen.
Yeah. It was great advice. Sound advice.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was the first time in my life I had to make a choice between my dad and my father. My father said, that's your house. My daddy said, you can't afford it. That was great advice. But I had to listen to my father. So I stepped out anyway. God opened up a door. Amen. Where I went to this first time home buyer's class. So if you go to this class, what we're going to do is we're going to put up some money for you. And we're going to give you a homeowner's credit that's going to last 5 years. And you're going to have to pay the money back, but with no interest. We're going to put up the first mortgage. Amen.
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 Hey,
I'm just saying.
God can do anything.
God can do anything.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't trying to disobey my daddy.
Right.
It was great advice. Uh-huh. But we're training our children. When we're bringing them up in the Lord, we're training them to choose God over us.
Hallelujah.
I had to come to that realization with my own kids. I'm training them that one day they're going to have to choose God over me.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. And I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
That don't make sense. Why in the world are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
But God didn't speak to me, spoke to him.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to step out on faith and do what God tells.
Amen.
I just had to say that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because that's the first example I could come up with.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
But listen to Paul. When he wrote to the Corinthian believers, 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to back up to the Old Testament, because God said something similar to this in the Old Testament. Leviticus 26, 11 through 12, he said this. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to see the difference. Before, God said that he would be among his people and walk with his people. Now, God is saying, because he's doing something new.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to dwell in you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to walk in you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
He's in you now.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just walking around.
All right.
He's in you when you're a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You have the God on the inside of you. You have his nature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before, God said he would be among his people and walk with his people. Now God is doing something altogether different. He said, I will dwell in you and walk in you. You see, walking in the Spirit is the Almighty God walking in you. That's where it begins. Is the Almighty God walking in you. Now, listen, the natural man will rebel against this. Right, the natural man rebels against his new way of living.
Mm-hmm.
Many still believe that you got to do something in order to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get myself together. Mm-hmm. I said that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when people were presenting me with the gospel.
Yeah.
I'm in my 20s. I don't know. I got to get myself right first.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But if I can do that, I don't need God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
If I could get it together.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get it together.
That's right.
He said, many believe that you got to do something in order to be saved. And God says there is nothing anyone can do to be saved because guess what? God has already done everything for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't meet the requirement.
That's right.
That's right.
First of all, you can't fulfill the whole law.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do all his commands.
Mm-hmm.
I think I messed that up already because I'm not perfect.
Yeah,
I've already broken
right.
a bunch of his commands.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm the only one, but I've already broken them.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I missed that boat.
Mm-hmm.
Since I'm a sinner, the penalty for being in sin is death.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Well, I don't want to die.
Right.
Right.
I don't want to die.
Mm.
So God says, since you can't fulfill the penalty yourself, I'll do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it for you. And that's what he did in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He did it for us.
Amen.
Listen to this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Then God loves you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That he gave his only begotten son,
mm-hmm.
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Mm-hmm. All you gotta do is believe.
Yeah.
You gotta get yourself together.
Mm-hmm.
God will fix you up afterwards.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Come as you are. You messed up?
That's right.
Yeah. I was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
When I gave myself to Christ, I said, well, I don't know what you're going to get out of this, but here it is. So don't worry about it.
He knew.
I'm good at this.
Yeah.
This is what I do.
Yeah.
I fix people.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I do. There's nothing you can do that God can't fix.
That's right.
I don't care how bad you think you are or the terrible things you think you've done. How good you think you are.
Yeah, that's right.
There's something that needs to be fixed.
Amen.
Jesus.
God can fix you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm a living witness. Now, how many Christians, now that's the unbelievers. Now, how many Christians also rebel against this fact? Having been saved by faith, and that we are to walk in faith.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to see where I'm going.
Mm.
Paul had this issue with the Galatians. That's why we're in the book of Galatians right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Paul had this issue, which is why he wrote the epistle. Galatians 3, 1 through 3. Write it down and listen, because I'm going to read out of the Amplified. O foolish and thoughtless and superficial Galatians, who have bewitched you that you would act like this? Well, let me tell you how they were acting. They were saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, right? But yet they were doing what they wanted to do. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Who have bewitched you that you should act like this, to whom, right before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed and crucified in the gospel message? This is all I want to ask you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as a result of obeying the requirements of the law? Or was it a result of hearing the message of salvation and with faith believing it? How did you get the Holy Spirit? Huh? Did you get it by believing, or did you get it by doing what you wanted to do?
Jesus.
Are you so foolish and senseless, having begun your new life by faith with the Spirit? Are you now being perfected and reaching spiritual maturity by the flesh? That is, by your own works and efforts to keep the law or to do what you want to do? When you get saved, you start out right. Holy Spirit got you on the right track. And then all of a sudden you want to do what you want to do. And you think you're growing.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're maturing. And you want to know why you're going through some of the stuff you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how God started you out.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. He started you out in the Spirit.
Yes.
Now, as a believer, we have been saved by faith. The Holy Spirit has regenerated us, and now we are to keep walking in the same method.
Right.
Which is to walk in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we could grab hold of this truth, our lives would change. And see, the good thing about being saved, you can start back with Christ anytime you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All you got to say, Lord, I messed up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Put me back on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to go back and start back here. That's what the world do. They make you start over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Lord said, okay, right where you are, we're going to start from here. We're going to get you right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Lord, a lot of all that stuff I did back there, ain't nobody think about that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll fix that. And you might have to deal with some things you did.
Mm-hmm.
I'll help you get through that. But right where you are, we're going to start right here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to move forward. See, that's what the world do to make you start over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
They tell you you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I personally, I feel like Paul did when he wrote Philippians 3, 12, 14, listen to what he said. Again, I'm going to use the Amplified. Not that I have already attained this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet, but one thing I do,
yes,
forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward,
yes,
to what lies ahead. This was the message preached before. I press towards the goal to win that heavenly prize,
yes,
of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
That was preached before last week. Amen. Wasn't that the word last week?
Yes.
We're going to press forward. Forgetting those things that are behind.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to press forward.
Yes.
That's the New Year's resolution right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're looking for something? Mm. Forget what happened back there.
That's right.
That's right.
Get it right with God right now.
Yeah.
So he can fix your future.
Yeah.
Now I want to give you 3 steps to walk in the Spirit before we close out. 3 steps. Now the first step. We must first have a realization of our human weakness and sinfulness. Amen? Realize that you're weak and sinful. Oh, no, I ain't that bad. See, what we try to do is we try to measure each other by each other.
Yeah.
Well, I don't do what he do.
Yeah.
I'm not as bad as them over there.
Right.
But God doesn't measure. He said, all y'all bad. Y'all need fixing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody got a problem.
Yeah.
If you're not like me, you're not right.
That's right.
Right.
All right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody got a problem.
That's right.
Everybody need fixing.
That's right.
1 John 1:6-10. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie.
Yeah.
And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's messed up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Confess your sins, and he will clean you up. Now, I'm not telling you to go tell everybody your business.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You ain't got to tell everybody your business. Amen?
Amen.
But you can go to God and tell the one who already know, and he'll clean you up.
That's right.
And over time, people will see that you've changed because you won't do the same thing. You won't say the same thing. Maybe you won't go the same places. Maybe your character changed. Your personality might stay the same. We talked about this, right? If you're funny, you're probably going to still be funny.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But your character changed.
Yeah.
Your character changed. He'll change your character and how you operate, what you believe, how you respond. But if you're reserved, you'll still be reserved. If you're outgoing, you'll still be outgoing. You're not going. That's how he made you.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
That's how he made you. So don't let people try to change your personality, but God will change your character. Because your character has a lot to do with what's in your heart.
All right.
All right.
And what you believe. Your heart will change.
Yep.
But your personality just stays the same.
Yeah.
Now this first step, realizing that you're humanly weak and sinful. This first step is always the most difficult for the believer. It's always the most difficult. Just like a baby struggling, wondering if they should take that first step, afraid they might collapse, the believer must take the first step and consider themselves weak and sinful. See, it's hard because when you get saved, you feel like you can do anything. Oh, I'm on top of the world now. I can do it. I can do everything. But then you realize, my goodness.
All right.
I can't do anything. I'm making more mistakes now than I did when I was saved. Because there's a realization of who you really are. Everybody in the world's messed up. They just don't know it. The word of God is like a mirror. So you start looking into the word of God and you see yourself like, man, I'm jacked up. But God don't leave you there. He says, yeah, something wrong with you, but I can fix you. Because I have to show you what's wrong with you. And then we can move forward. So when you think you're all right, can't nobody help you.
That's right.
All right now.
That's why every young black man needs a mentor. Yeah. Listen to your elders. That's the word.
That's it.
Don't exclude your elders and the old folks. It's because they're trying to tell you something. One thing I used to like about my daddy, he would take me everywhere. And I was always around a bunch of old men. They'd be talking junk, but... I realized they really weren't that old. They were just old to me. Right? They were in their 20s and 30s. Right? They were still children themselves, 40s like me. And I'm just a kid thinking, look at the old men. But they were still trying to drop wisdom on me.
That's it.
Right?
That's right.
Listen to you, elders. But that in that first step, the believer must become helpless, totally dependent on God. And not only that, they have to reckon themselves totally corrupt. At any moment, you can do something stupid. Don't trust yourself. Just because you've gained a little knowledge and you learn a few things, don't trust yourself. Because unless God change your heart, you're going to do what's in here. You don't always do what's up here. I know what I should do, but I feel like, I know how it goes. And this is not, listen, Romans 3 and 23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of God's glory.
That's right.
So we all in the same boat.
Yes.
I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We all on the same boat. Yeah. Now, you may have done some things that the law said you got to go to jail for.
Oh, man.
And I didn't break the law. But according to the law of God, we still all sinners.
Yes, that's right.
I'm no better than the guy in prison.
That's right.
Because I didn't do that. We're all still the same in the eyes of God. Amen. As a matter of fact, a lot of those prisoners get it right in jail. Amen. And we out here, we still doing what we want to do. And one day we got to see our maker, and the prisoner go to be with the Lord, and we go to hell. Just telling you like it is. Now this is not about sinful acts committed. I just want to make that clear. We're talking about sin nature. It's a nature that was passed down to everybody. We got it. Your kids got it. Those precious little babies, I love them. But without the right training, what you think gonna happen? Amen?
Yes, amen.
They gonna do what they wanna do when they get old. Show me a teenager that don't have anybody training them the right way. And I'm gonna show you somebody I'm gonna stay away from. Especially them jokers running the street. When I used to run the street, I'm the dude you need to be away from. Amen? But guess what? I did have some training. Yes. So I came home. Mm-hmm. So it's not about acts committed. We're talking about the sin nature. Mm-hmm. When a believer is first converted, they are giving a new nature. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The old sinful nature is still present. Mm-hmm. Amen?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I want to explain this one. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit will take you and spiritually baptize you into the family of God. And the Holy Spirit will begin to dwell on the inside of you, and God gives you a new nature where you didn't have before.
Right.
But the old nature is still there. Mm-hmm. Your flesh is still here. You can tell because every day it gets older. Amen. I'm always finding new gray hairs on the chin. So this flesh is still moving, getting old, corrupt, right? I noticed when I got saved, I still had some of the same desires that I had before. But there was something different. The difference was, over time, I began to be convicted about some things that I was doing.
Yeah.
Before, I wasn't convicted.
All right.
Yeah. That's right, I like doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Felt like I did them pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But over time, I began to be convicted. I began to see myself in the Word of God.
Yes.
And I began to see that there's a contradiction to the way I was living and the way God wanted me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I started building the desire, I want to do what God wants me to do.
Amen.
And things started changing.
All right.
He began to change me over time.
Mm.
That's why we don't have to spend a whole lot of time telling people, don't do this and don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We lead them to Christ.
Yes.
Show them the true and living God.
Yes.
Once the Holy Spirit get a hold to them, He'll really show them what's wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend more time, you shouldn't be doing this and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit will do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Now I'm not saying we shouldn't give people wise counsel.
Amen.
You see somebody doing something, you shouldn't. I'm not saying you shouldn't say anything. What I'm saying is true conviction comes from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, yeah.
Not from each other. Listen to what Paul said, and then I'm going to go to step two. Paul said this, Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?
Mm.
Romans 7 is a chapter every Christian should read and study. Matter of fact, I should say 5, 6, 7, 8. In that order. 5-6 really gives you an idea of who you are in Christ. I've been saved. Wow. I'm not under the same rules and regulations that I was before, where I was, you know, I had to operate this way. I had to be sinful. I didn't have a choice. This is what I do. And God is saying, you don't have to do that anymore because you're a believer. I've given you a new nature.
Yes.
But chapter 7, you find out that there's a battle between the new nature and the old nature.
That's right.
And Paul's telling us, man, when I want to do right, I don't.
Yeah.
Because that sin nature is still there.
Yeah.
And Paul's learning to choose between the two. And what Paul learned is, even that new nature, and this is important, listen to what I'm saying. Even that new nature that God has given you has no power. So what Paul learned from God directly is the Holy Spirit had to do all the work. That's why we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is what does all the work. Listen to step two. We must recognize that God's standard for Christian living is not attainable by human effort, by human ability, or human standards. But yet, that's the way we're taught. That's the way we're raised, right? Mm-hmm. You go to school, and they teach you these things on how to go out and get jobs, right? You get these trades, and there's a way that you do things, and all that's great. But walking in the Spirit is totally different, because before, you got to do everything. Mm-hmm. If you don't do it, it don't get done, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't get done. My buddy Brandon, he's in a house full of women. Mm-hmm. So he's probably the one taking the trash out. Amen. If you don't take the trash out, then it don't get done, right?
Right.
You know? The girls have other things to do, but he don't have boys. I have boys. I can make the boys take the trash out. We have girls, so he may not make them take the trash out. So Brandon's taking the trash out. And if it don't get done, if he don't do it, it don't get done. That's how we do things. That's how we operate, right? But God's standard of living is now by grace, which is walking in the Spirit. His standard of living cannot be reached by human effort or ability. Human effort and ability for a believer is walking in the flesh. Listen to what I'm saying. God demands a standard of living that we cannot reach, but the Holy Spirit can. So how do we get there? Listen to this. This is what Paul wrote to the Galatians. Christ has become of no effect to you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are falling from grace. Mm-hmm. Let me give you my commentary on this one. Christ has become of no effect to the believer. Whosoever is justified by doing things their own way. Walking in the flesh. Right? Ye have fallen from grace. And what it means by that is you have chosen a lower standard of living when God has given you a higher standard of living. Grace is a higher standard of living than the law. Because the law means you have to do something, and because you're not perfect, you're going to always make mistakes. Right? But if you live by grace, that means you're standing on what Jesus already did for you.
Right.
And all your mistakes are covered. It don't mean you're not going to learn as you go. Mm-hmm. It means that you're going to learn in Christ. Jesus. You're going to learn while you're walking in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen? You're not going to learn by your human ability, why you think you should do something. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a new way of living. I'm going back to Romans 8, 1 through 4. There's therefore no condemnation mm-hmm. to them which are in Christ Jesus. Right? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made us free from the law, have freed you from having to do things on your own.
All right.
Which is sin and death. Because you're going to always make mistakes. Mm-hmm. For what the law could not do, or what you can't do on your own, mm-hmm. and that is weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Mm-hmm. I want to give you an example. And I'm almost done. Give you an example. This is the example of the good housewife. As a woman, she's a good housewife, right? And she's fixing a roast for her family. So she take the roast and she put the roast in the oven, right? Mm-hmm. And she set it on the right temperature, let's say 425, right? Put it on the right temperature.
You burning it up.
I'm not a good housewife, so let's bring that down
350. Let's bring that down to 350, all right? I'm not a good housewife, right? But we're going to bring it down to 350. Amen. 325. All right, 325. See, we got some good housewives in here, all right? So the phone rings, and it's a girlfriend. She hasn't talked to a girlfriend in a while. And they get on the phone, and they've been talking. 25, 30, 35 minutes go by, 45 minutes, hour. Sound like you know what I'm talking about, bro.
Yeah, better watch out.
Hour goes by, and as she's talking to a girlfriend, she started to smell something. Oh my God, my roast is burning. Girl, I gotta go. I gotta get this roast out of here.
Yeah.
So she hangs up the phone, she runs to the oven, and she opens it up, and my God, it's burning up.
Oh.
All right? So she grabs a fork so she can get this roast out. But she can't pull it out with the fork because the flesh is all burnt up.
Wow.
Right? She can't put, but she's a good housewife. She thinks on her feet. Right? So she went and she realized she just went on Amazon and got this real nice spatula, right? Nice and wide, heavy duty. And she went and get this spatula and she sticks it up under this roast and she pulls out the roast and she's able to get it out. Now, what the fork couldn't do in that the flesh was all burnt up, the spatula could. See, the fork is like the law. That was a good fork. Like the law. God's law is good. The law is not the problem. The problem is the flesh. The problem is us. Because in order to fulfill the law, somebody's got to do it.
That's right.
The spatula is like the Holy Spirit. Spatula say that flesh all jacked up. They're not going to be able to do it. I'm going to do it for them. I'm going to lift them up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to carry them along the way.
Yeah.
And I'm going to walk in them and I'm going to be in them. I don't care how messed up they are, they're going to always be able to make it.
All right.
Because I'm in them.
All right.
See, it makes it easy to go before God and say, hey, I'm messed up. Because I know you're going to carry me anyway.
Yeah.
But when you think you're going to do something, it's hard to admit to God that I got a problem.
All right now.
Now when you do these two things, now you're ready to walk in the Spirit. And the third step is to rest upon the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says this again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the believer, there's always a fear that we're going to do something wrong. Have you ever heard this? You're supposed to be a Christian. That's because somebody saw you do something wrong. Or think you did something wrong. You didn't do something they were supposed to do, right? But sometimes you did something wrong. As a Christian, you probably did something. You're supposed to be a Christian. Well, you are a Christian. Amen. It's just, they probably caught you walking in the flesh. And you weren't walking in the Spirit. Amen. Whenever my wife has said that to me, I was probably walking in the flesh. Amen. Again, Galatians. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, and I'm reading Amplified, seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. Okay? And then you will certainly not carry out the desires of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts. The Christian must habitually seek the Holy Spirit and be responsive to His guidance. And he got to do this without ceasing so he won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking is not walking if you stop moving. Now I'm walking. now I'm not. You got to keep moving in the Holy Spirit. You got to press. Amen. Somebody got it. You got to press forward towards the mark of the high calling. Amen. You got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. You got to be like a running back. One thing they tell the running back, even when they hit you, keep your legs moving. You might get one or two more yards out of it. And that's how it is with the Christian. When times get hard, you got to keep moving. So you can get that one or two more yards, might make the difference. All you need is a first down and you get four more. All you need is a first down. That's for my men right there. And some of my women. That's some of my women. Some of my women. But my men get that one.
Yeah.
You got to keep pressing.
Keep pressing.
Amen.
Amen.
Because all you need is a first down and you get four more.
See, God is good. He got something for everybody.
One more example. A man is paralyzed. Legs paralyzed. Amen. He can't walk. But he decides to get him some crutches. I just want to make sure that people know that I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a crutch. This is just an example. Because we're not smart enough to get stuff. It's the best I could come up with. But he gets these crutches. Right? And with these crutches, he begins to walk, right? Mm-hmm. But he's walking with the crutches. Mm-hmm. Walking with the crutches. And if any moment he gets too high of himself and he think he can walk without the crutches, he going down.
Yeah.
He's going to fall. Well, the same thing with the Christian. Mm-hmm. If you believe you can do it without the Holy Spirit, you're going to fall.
That's right.
You have to walk in the Spirit. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not whether you really want. You don't have a choice. This is the only way to make it. You got to walk in the Spirit. In conclusion, remember Peter. Amen.
Amen.
Peter was with the other disciples and Jesus sent him out on the boat. He said, I want y'all to go ahead. I'll catch up with you. And they went out on the boat and they got halfway across the lake and a huge storm came. And the storm, they felt like they was going to die. And in the midst of the storm, they see a figure walking on the water.
Jesus.
And as the figure gets closer, they start getting afraid. And Jesus said, don't be scared, it's me. I'm just paraphrasing. Don't be scared, it's just me. And Peter, as bold as he is, Peter said, Lord, if it be you, that's really you, give me a command to come out on the water. And God said, come. So he stepped out of the boat. And he started walking on water. Amen. Started walking on water. He got the command. He can walk. But somewhere along the way, he started focusing on the storm. Focusing on the thing. Now, God didn't take the storm away. Right? As long as he was focused on Jesus, he was walking on the water.
That's right.
But as soon as he started taking his focus off of Jesus and focusing on the storm, he began to sink.
That's right.
But he was smart. First thing Peter said was, Lord, help me.
That's right.
Lord, help me. Somebody need to say that today. Lord, help me.
Yes, Lord.
And immediately, the Bible says, immediately he reached down and picked them up.
That's right.
And they walked back to the boat. Together. He walked on water twice. But the second time he walked with Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Walking with Jesus. So what does that say to us? Well, Jesus has gone back to prepare a place for us, but he's coming back. And he sent the Comforter. Come and said, I'll be in you. I'll walk with you. Now you walk with me. And we and you, we can walk on the water. We can walk on anything that's going on in your life. We can walk on it. As a matter of fact, we're going to walk together in this thing. I may not remove the storm, but we're going to walk on the water. We're going to get back to the boat where you're going to be safe. He may not remove everything in your life, but he'll make sure you're all right.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank
he's not here to fix all your situation. He's here to fix you.
You. Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why does he have to fix your situation when he fixed you? Mm-hmm. And he can get you to see your situation differently.
That's right.
That same stuff don't bother you. Those same people don't bother you anymore like it used to. Yeah. Why he got to fix your situation and you still aggravated every time somebody say something to you? Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Every time somebody pull out in front of you on the road, you get mad. Uh-huh. Yeah. Why not fix you so the next time somebody pull out in front of you, you don't act like a fool?
That's right. That's
right. Wow.
I told you this for everybody.
Oh,
that's right. Even me.
That's
So let us recap before we close. First step, acknowledge and admit that you cannot live the Christian life on your own because you have a sin nature and that you are corrupt.
That's right.
Step two is to realize that we can't meet God's standards, but the Holy Spirit can. Step three is to start walking in the Spirit and rest in the Holy Spirit.
All
right. Now it's going to be new. You're going to feel weak and helpless. But one thing Paul discovered, when I'm weak, then I am strong. See, you didn't know he's in my sermon this morning, did you? When you're weak, you're really strong. Because what you've done is, guess what? I've chosen not to choose. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit make the choices for me.
Yes.
Whatever you want me to do, Lord, that's what we sing, right? That's what we say. But do we really mean it?
Yeah, come on now.
Out of the mouths of babes, she said no. Thank you, baby.
That's right.
We don't. We always singing the song, but we don't really mean it.
That's right.
So now I present to you. No one can walk in the Spirit unless they first accept the gift of salvation that God offers to all mankind. If you want to be free from the bondage of sin and experience the eternal life that is available through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that now. You cannot begin to walk in the Spirit unless you first accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He promised to give you the Holy Spirit that will guide and lead and teach you all things. Don't worry about trying to get it together and get it right. God said, I'll fix you when you get here. I already got it planned out. I already got your whole thing mapped out how you're going to get fixed. But he's saying, now is the time. Now is the time. Let us all pray. Oh, blessed Father, we truly thank you for the word this morning.
Yes.
You are almighty.
Yes.
We bless you with our mouths of thankfulness.
Yes.
We lift our hands and we praise you, Father.
Yes.
Because you love us so much.
Yes, you do, Father.
You gave your only begotten Son for
us. Yes.
He paid the price and the penalty for us that we could not pay.
Yes.
And our same Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has gone back to prepare a place for us. And he said he's going to return again. But until then, he has given us the precious Holy Spirit that we may be kept until that day. Help us to walk in your Spirit. Help us to be kept by your Spirit. Help us to be ready when Jesus comes back. Lord, this we ask in Jesus' name's sake we pray. Let the church say amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, I want Jesus to walk with me. In my trials, in my trials, walk with me. In my trials, oh, walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, I want Jesus to walk with me.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
Oh, yes.
After hearing such great message, walking in the Spirit, realizing without God, you can't walk in the Spirit.
Yes,
in fact, the Word of God said, if you have not my Spirit, you're not of mine. But He has already made the invitation. He's already told you how to walk. But you got to take the first step. You got to know Him and the pardon of your sin. Is there one that does not know Jesus and want to accept Him as your Savior and Lord? That's the only way. Jesus is the only way. Is there one? You can rest on your feet.